You are Locked On Redskins, your daily Washington Redskins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, every day, every day.
It is another episode of the Locked On Redskins podcast. Good to have you guys with us. I'm Chris Russell. As always, we invite you to check out at Locked Redskins on Twitter, at Locked Redskins, for all your Redskins coverage, all sorts of episode links to the podcast, story links from my coverage over at SI, as well, and Redskins Maven, as well, where you could hear me on the radio and other Redskins news and information stories, all of that good stuff at Locked Redskins, as well at Locked On NFL Net on both Twitter and Instagram is a good place for you to go as well for full NFL team coverage as well. You can email me, russellmania09@gmail.com. That's russellmania09@gmail.com. As the Redskins get ready for the Detroit Lions, on this episode, we're going to hear from Chris Thompson, and we'll start with interim coach Bill Callahan, who met with the media on Wednesday at Redskins Park.
We kind of visited on this the other day about Monte Nicholson, and more things keep coming out about that. Why are you guys, I guess, so as comfortable as you are with having him at least participate in everything right now?
Well, John, I would tell you first and foremost that our deepest sympathies go out to the young woman's family and friends. Right now, I'm unable to comment on anything that's ongoing from a legal matter. And my understanding is that Monte is cooperating with the local authorities at this point in time. And as things develop and as things continue, I'll be more than happy to inform everybody as to any updates that I can provide when the time's appropriate.
Have you guys been in contact with the league at all? Sometimes in these situations, the league puts the player on an exempt list.
I would imagine so. I don't know that to be the honest point. I'd have to talk to the front office. I'm sure they're in contact. I would assume there's communication and dialogue. Personally, I'm not aware of that at this point, but I'll let you know as soon as I can if they have been or not.
Bill, is Monte playing this weekend?
As of right now, he is active, and he did play Sunday, and right now he is on the active roster and is scheduled to play.
We didn't see Adrian Peterson out at practice. Was it a rest day for him, like a vet's day or something more?
Yes, we backed him down today.
Bill, you know as well as anyone the relationship between a quarterback and center specifically in terms of protection and how important that relationship is. What can you guys do and what can Chase do to maybe take some of that off mm-hmm. of Dwayne's plate? And is that something you guys are working on? How is that relationship developing?
Yeah, I think Chase is one of the better centers in the league, identifying, recognizing, communicating all the variables and variations of front problems, pneumatic pressure problems that are created. He has great experience for a young center, and we're trying to communicate that to Dwayne in the most simplistic terms so that he's aware of what those issues are at the time of the snap. As you all know, picking up pressures from coordinators around the league is always at the forefront of our protection plan, and of course it comes down to that and our ability to communicate, across the board, whether it happens to be the center to the queue or that communication gets echoed out to the edges or to the running backs. Everybody's involved in the protection plan. And so to your question, it's a great question. The center does have usually and normally the initial responsibility and point of where we're directing the point system. At times they're true points, at times they're dummy points, because you have to change that up. But we try to get that communicated and echoed throughout the entirety of the offensive line.
And as you evaluate Dwayne in general, do you divide up almost his mistakes into things that you say, all right, that's something we've been working on since you've been drafted. We really need you to get this now, versus you look at some of, for instance, the pressures that the Jets bring and how complex they are, and you go, that's something this kid's never seen before in his whole football life. Are you able to separate those things and maybe treat those things a little differently as you evaluate?
Well, I think there's pressures and issues that come up every week for veteran quarterbacks as well. It needs to be repped. And then there's always those unscheduled looks, alignments, and pressures that you deal with and have to adjust to during the course of a game. Those come up as well. And they're problematic for any player across the board. Whether you're a first-year player, a 10-year player, 15-year player, you are presented with an agenda of problems that you have to figure out and you have to have answers for. And each of them are different. Let's just say, for instance, you have a couple, maybe two or three protections. Well, those issues at times get compounded with the communication, if that makes sense, because it's a complex game, and we do really simplify it, and we try to make it as simple as possible going into each game plan. But issues come up, and you've got to handle them, and that's what we do on the sideline. We adjust to those issues to the best of our ability.
Bill, I noticed that Chris Thompson was out of practice today. Can we get an update on where he is currently, just schedule-wise with his injury? Yeah. And then also I noticed Jonathan Allen, Deron Payne were not out there, so just ask about that.
Yeah, Payne and Allen were back down today, and Chris was on the practice field on a limited basis.
Bill, with Payne, any idea on Sunday for yet? I mean, is it?
No idea yet.
How has Alex been doing? We saw him out there today. I know his wife posted that video. We saw him kind of working out. What's his update status, and how has he been looking?
Yeah, he's currently on IR, and so he's taken a role, you know, in the quarterback room and on the field, and you know, with Kevin and with Tim Rattay. I think Tim Rattay has done a really nice job with bringing along Dwayne, and the time that he's spent with him and the development that he's given him is starting to pay off. And Alex has been a really good resource. I mean, let's face it, when you have a quarterback that has played the number of years as he's had and has gone through the various experiences from the time he was a rookie until where he's at now, that is so invaluable. So his insight, you know, for Dwayne and also for all the quarterbacks and everybody on staff is always invaluable. So he's fun to talk to. It's great to see him out there. His rehab is coming along well. And like I said earlier in the year, I've never seen anybody that has such a determination and will to get back on the field as Alex does.
And you have Dwayne out there with Geis, Terry. We saw Kelvin making some big plays. Just what excites you about this mm-hmm. young core, since you saw them really all together for the first time on the field this past Sunday?
Well, Ike Hilliard, our receiver coach, has done a great job developing Terry and bringing him along as a young rookie, as well as Trey Quinn. I mean, let's face it, we've got some young receivers as well as Kelvin Harmon out there. And I mean, that's a young group of wide receivers that we're developing. And Ike deserves a lot of credit. He's done a tremendous job bringing them along, and he's worked diligently and hard in the classroom with them. He's got excellent rapport and communication with that young group and giving them, you know, all the techniques that they need to go out and play with on Sunday for such a young group and a young quarterback just speaks volumes to the coaches on our staff like Coach Rattay and Coach Hilliard.
Bill, wanted to follow up on the receivers, and I apologize for the bluntness of this. I just don't know how else to ask it. But why is it so hard for young guys to get the proper route depth, especially on third down?
We saw. I'm sorry, the what?
The proper depth for young receivers. We saw a number of times on Sunday, whether it's third and four and they get three or third and 12 and they get 11. But it's something that happens consistently around the league. Why does that happen?
I think it's what we would call sticks awareness. You know where the markers are at, what you need to know, situational awareness. Being more in tune in the situational awareness, you know, that to me is just experience. I mean, knowing what you need to get and know how to stretch your route and, you know, whatever it takes to get your depth, being at the maximum depth, being at the precise, correct, accurate depth that you need to be at to make the play, you know, that's the discipline and consistency that we're after.
And then, Coach, just staying on the wide receivers, Kelvin Harmon played half the snaps against the Bills and 93% against the Jets. What specifically does he add to this offense?
Well, he's a young receiver that has size, physicality, has good hands, catch radius, can run the short and the intermediate, and can separate against man coverage. So he has all the the traits and skills, you know, that you look for in a wide receiver. And now it's just a matter of grooving him and his techniques against the week-to-week competition that he's seen against the type of corners that he's going to be faced up against.
After the Jets game, I think you called the 11 penalties uncharacteristic of your team. Mm-hmm. So given a couple days now to look at the tape, where were they happening, why were they happening, and how do you and your coaching staff go about addressing that this late in the season?
Yeah. Again, it was a split across the board, offense, defense. They were costly. And just addressing, you know, the precision of hands and technique, and you know, we just go back to the drawing board and just reemphasize everything that we discussed, you know, throughout from the beginning of training camp on. So, you know, at times, you know, you get in those types of games or weeks or situations where you're kind of dry, you're clean, and you're doing well, and then you hit a game like we did on Sunday where we didn't do as well, and we're going back again and readdressing those types of issues that we had on Sunday.
And is that something that the refs that you have here at practice for the last several weeks, is that something that they talk specifically to players? That you mentioned precision of hands is one thing, holding penalties.
Yeah, absolutely. The officials, I think it's been great for us to have officials at practice so that they can communicate to the players, and they have communicated to them. And I think that dialogue has been good. And just to make them constantly aware, you know, of the positioning, the technique, and how a call could be made. Maybe the player doesn't recognize it, but the officials here that come in, they do a great job. They've been a great assistance for our team.
How many starts do you think a quarterback needs in the NFL to truly show what he is as a passer, and for a coaching staff or a franchise to kind of look at him and say one way or the other, this is our guy, or maybe we need to go elsewhere?
I think it's an ongoing process for any quarterback. I don't know that you can per se put a specific exact number on to say, well, this guy's arrived at game number 6. You know what I mean? They're different. Every game's different. Every defense that you encounter in coverage and team, they're so different. So I think it's just kind of a body of work, and it's a depth of work that a quarterback's got to get comfortable with. And really, it's years. Look how many years these guys have taken to really develop and to become the types of quarterbacks that they've been in the league. So I don't have the real exact answer. I can't pinpoint it for you. It's a good question, but I believe that it's one that takes time. It takes maturation, experience, and being involved in more situations so they see the game. And when they do see it, it slows down for them so they can execute in a better manner.
All right, that is interim coach Bill Callahan meeting with reporters on Wednesday afternoon. And guess who was back at practice on Wednesday and is looking like a possibility for this Sunday against the Detroit Lions? That's who you're going to hear from next. Stay tuned for that on the Locked On Redskins podcast. What's up, guys? It's Chris Russell here, Locked On Redskins. Attention, past, present, and future MyBookie players. It's almost Thanksgiving time, and during Thanksgiving week, MyBookie is offering a risk-free bet on the Bears and Lions game. Simply choose a team against the spread for up to $250. If you win, congratulations. You've got some extra holiday spending money, especially with Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. If you lose, congratulations to you as well. MyBookie will give all of your money back. It's a no-brainer because you literally cannot lose. It's no risk. It's not turkey. It's all gravy. Doesn't matter whether you're experienced first time, MyBookie welcomes you all in and to celebrate Thanksgiving. Just log on to MyBookie.ag and make your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar to jumpstart your bankroll. And that's on top of the risk-free bet. Let me repeat, that's a guaranteed deposit match and a risk-free bet for Thanksgiving only. So if you're a true football fan, you do not want to let this opportunity pass you by. You simply cannot lose. MyBookie.ag. MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. Hey, I'm Chris Russell. Good to have you guys back with us. So the player that we told you was back at practice on Wednesday, that is looking like a possibility to play this Sunday for the first time since the Redskins' one and only win on October the 13th in Miami, Chris Thompson, met with the media as well. Let's hear from CT. He's a good guy and a good interview.
CT, how are you feeling? And how's the foot?
I feel pretty good. I just did some individual drills, worked with the quarterbacks a little bit. Felt pretty good. Just got to take it day by day now at this point, and just do a little more and more every day, and just just keep gauging it and seeing how it feels after every day, and the workload that I do during the practices. But it's been a while. Just glad to be out there and working with my guys. But it's a painful injury. It's a tough one to deal with, but I'm trying to do everything I can to get back as quick as possible.
I'm sure you have a different perspective watching the games not on the field. What has stood out to you, or what stands out from what you've been able to see these last couple weeks?
I think the biggest thing has been, just some miscommunications, obviously missing. We've all missed some blocks and some stuff on protections that's put Dwayne in some bad situations, and that's something we gotta fix and continue, to communicate with him about. And I think as long as we do what we do up front to protect him as best as we possibly can, I think he'll be able to, see the field, be able to get the guys open. And, I'm hoping I can be able to come back and help him. And also protections is a real big thing in this offense. And if I'm back there, since I've been in this offense a while, be able to, even if I feel he makes, a call one way or the other, just be able to help him back there and do everything that I can.
CT, obviously losing is never fun. And, watching this team, on the sidelines, how are you processing this, the struggles and the adversity? And obviously you're a pro, you want to win. How do you kind of process this season in a way?
I think on a personal level, I've been doing everything I possibly can to help us win games, and I feel like everybody in here is doing the same. And for me, it's just been tough watching, because I feel like I'm hurting my guys if I'm not out there, and I feel like if I'm out there, I help to bring a different look to our offense, be able to, even if I'm not so much in the game plan, just to be a decoy, change the calls on the defensive side of the ball, because, when I go in there, they're alert for a lot of different things. So, that's why it sucks for me to be out, because I feel like for coordinators and stuff, it makes it a little easier for them to game plan. We don't have Vernon, we don't have Jay Reed, so it's a lot of guys that were important in this offense that's out. So, like I said before, I'm just trying to do everything I can do to get back and be able to help Seven in these last six games that we got to play.
You've been in a lot of different locker rooms in your career. Mm-hmm. What is the morale like right now, and how do you kind of maintain that positive energy? How do you help, your teammates, in a sense, to keep that positive energy moving forward?
I think guys have been doing the best that they possibly can in this situation. And, we've been just having our talks internally about everything that's going on. Obviously, we're not proud of what we've done out there. And the biggest thing is to try to go out and fix it on an everyday basis. And consistency is really the key. We hadn't played. We either played a good first half, bad second half, or, vice versa. And it's a matter of just figuring out how to put it all together every single play throughout the game. And, it's been tough. I haven't been in this situation. When we did have those first two bad years that I was here, well, terrible years that I was here, I was on IR one of those years, and the second on practice squad. So it's, it's a little different now, just really truly being in it, and super frustrating, because I know these guys are doing everything they can, but we haven't just put ourselves in the bad. We've put ourselves in a bad situation, and got to do everything we possibly can to get ourselves out of it. And we don't know what it is, and it's tough, because it's a lot of changes that's going on. Our with our quarterback situation and things like that, it's a lot. And I don't know, we got to figure out how to change this thing around, because you know, I love and respect all these guys that's here and in this organization, and I want to do everything I possibly can to help us get to the top as long as I'm here.
Chris, I know it's game plan specific, but have you at least envisioned in your mind when you see Darius doing what he was able to do on that screen, Dwayne getting the ball off to him, your role, your impact, AP still here, I know he missed practice today.
Yeah.
Have you been able to kind of like draw it up in your mind about how good that might be as a
Yeah, I mean, what I've seen guys do on a day-to-day basis, you know, outside of the injuries, obviously, I know he's going to be a great guy on this offense and be able to do a lot of different things. And, you know, personally, I think he's a good route runner and pass catcher as well as a running back. I don't feel like he's just that, you know, first, second down guy. He can do a lot of different things. And I was just glad to see that out of him, and then just to see him, you know, be able to go out there, finish a game healthy. And I think he's not going to do anything but get better, you know, as his career goes on. And I want to be out there to, you know, hopefully be out there on that field with him, being able to make some of those plays. Oh, I really like Kev. You know, he's always trying to do everything he can to put us in the best situations possible, and to use all his playmakers that he has on the offense. And you know, as I think he's getting more and more, as he's getting more and more comfortable, you know, he's bringing out these different formations and different plays, and just kind of putting his feel on it, you know, since he has full control right now with the offense. And, you know, I think it's something that long term, if, you know, if he's here and if he's with these guys, that it's really going to work out well for everybody. And, you know, it gets me excited and gets me anxious to go out there and play, because he's really adding a lot of stuff in, and I think it's really going to help guys and help playmakers get in some good spots just to get the ball in their hands quick and make some plays.
How have you seen Dwayne Haskins kind of change since he's been the starter? We haven't had a chance to ask you. So what have you seen from the past 2 or 3 weeks with his preparation and his just kind of behavior all throughout the facility?
I think he's growing more and more, and I think for him, with having the experience, having full game experience, I feel like it's helping him out, and you know, probably showing him too how much you know, it means to be on your job and be on it every single day, and just learn what it takes to be a good quarterback, a special quarterback in this league, which I think he's gonna be. And with the more and more starts that he gets, he's going to feel a lot more comfortable out there. And I'm excited to see it. And I think in these two games, he's grown a lot. And I think since he's, you know, been the guy, he's had some pretty good games. Obviously, there's been some missed throws and all of that. And that's, you know, that's going to happen dealing with a young, a rookie quarterback. And that's things that he's going to continue to grow from. And I think he even did it, you know, some at practice today.
When you were a rookie, do you remember having to learn that, all right, this is the NFL, being on it every day? Like, was that a process for you as well?
Yeah, for sure. My running back coach, he was Bobby Turner. He was tough, and he was big on the details, man. And one thing about him was, if you could say the right thing, but if you didn't say it how he said it to you, then you were wrong, yeah, type deal. And so he, you know, that alone just forced me to really be even more in my playbook, and I wanted to be that guy that every time he asked me a question, I got everything right word for word. And you know, he really helped me to step my game up pretty fast, and I knew what was ahead of me in this offense. And for me, playing in the preseason games really helped a lot as well, and gave me a better understanding of what he was trying to get me to see before we even got on the field.
All right, once again, that's myself, Locked On Redskins, Chris Russell, as well as other reporters with Chris Thompson in the Redskins locker room on a Wednesday. Make sure you guys check out this offer from the Locked On Redskins podcast and from the Locked On Podcast Network. From DoorDash, treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more. When you download the DoorDash app, trust me, it's easy, guys. I did it. If I can do it, you can do it. Enter the promo code LOCKEDON. Hey, if you're listening on the go, if you can't visit DoorDash right now, you can find all of this and all the other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcasts.com/offers. Back to wrap it up. All right, that is going to do it for us right here on the Locked On Redskins podcast. We will have more throughout the rest of the week, including a look inside the numbers, eye on the enemy at the Detroit Lions, who come to FedEx Field this Sunday, and also the Redskins, not the most popular team in D.C. anymore, huh? Yeah, we'll have that for you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading the Locked On Redskins podcast. Adios.